Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Good to be able to preach His word. And I'm blessed to be a father as well. This morning's message will not be on fathers. The title of the message is, Are You a Help to Anyone? Now that broadly can be applied to fathers, and that's our job. A father is a servant. A father is someone who will raise those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, who will give his life, so to speak, for those children, not only if they're in danger or something like that, but he will surrender his will, what he wants to do, so that he can minister to those children. And the same thing with his wife. He will protect her as the weaker vessel. So a father is a servant, by the way. And that is something that I'm kind of new to with those little ones. So let's go to Psalm in chapter 107. Psalm chapter 107. Psalm 107 and verse 23 is where we'll be starting. Now, if you look at our prayer card there, you'll see this passage on there, Psalm 107:23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. You'll see that passage there. And that is my calling. And we're going to read further verses here, and we're going to see what those people are looking for. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your blessings on each and every person here. Lord, I thank you for your dear son dying on the cross, Lord. I thank you for being such a holy and righteous God, the Father that we can all look up to, Lord, as we go throughout our lives here, Lord. And I do pray that everyone here that has come of age has accepted you as their Savior, Lord, has partook of that free gift of salvation. I just pray that, as has already been prayed, that you would have the preeminence here, Lord, that we would focus on you this morning, that you would get all the honor and glory out of this message, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read down from verse 23. Verse 24, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Now, when I look into those seafarers' eyes and when I talk to them, when they've been out to sea for a long time, they understand that there is something greater than them. There's a power that's greater than them. They understand that there's a God. Verse 25, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Now, I've ran across seafarers that are definitely at their wits' end. They don't understand what they're doing on this world. They don't understand what their goal in life is. They don't understand what they're here for. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Now in this portion of Scripture, we see that there's seafarers that are in trouble. They don't know who and where to turn to. They're in distress. And the topic that we're going to be covering this morning is, are you a help to anyone? Now, I go to the seafarers. I'm called to the seafarers. But each person here is called to reach the people around them, the people that we have interaction with. And I'm no different. When I'm out, when I'm traveling, I should be looking for that opportunity. Now, that's my failing. That's one of my greatest failings. It's when I'm traveling, when I'm getting gas, when I get something at a restaurant or something like that, that's one of the last thoughts on my mind is, what about that waitress? What about that person behind the counter? What about them? Am I a help to them? And this morning, we're going to look at what would cause us to not be a help, and why we should be a help, and what would cause us to be a help. Let's go to Luke in chapter 22. We're going to do one of pastor's favorite things, preacher's favorite things. We're going to pick on Peter. Luke in chapter 22. Luke in chapter 22 and verse 36. Now, I strongly identify with Peter in that I know how to put both feet into my mouth. In Luke 22 and verse 36. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. Now it's been mentioned in prayer that we should focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, if you look at verse 37, For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. Now verse 36, if you take verse 36 all by itself, which is what Peter did, then you might have the mistaken idea that you should be suited up for physical combat. You should be ready at a moment's notice to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. But that will not be a help to anyone. And if you know this story, if you know what happens later on, and we'll pick it up in verse 50, we'll see the outcome of this story. They indeed did get some swords. They had two. They didn't need to go buy any. They had two swords already. And the Lord says, it is enough. Now that's a funny thing. That should have been further indication that God did not need their defense. He did not need them to be fully suited for combat. The two swords were a token appearance so that he could be reckoned among the transgressors. If you know your prophecy, in fact, what he's referencing there is Isaiah 53. So that Jesus could be counted among the transgressors, among the thieves, so that they could have an excuse to come and take him by force. But in verse 50, Peter misreads the situation. And he's like, well, the Lord wanted us to have swords, so obviously he wanted us to use those swords. In verse 50, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now, from other passages, we know that that is Peter, and he cuts off Malchus's ear, the high priest's servant. And that is not a help to anyone. That was not a help to Peter, Malchus, or the Lord Jesus Christ, because with a word, with a single word, the Lord Jesus spoke, and that all that came against him fell backwards. So he was taken of his own will. He laid down his life, as it says in Isaiah 53. But, not to get off topic, but back to the topic at hand, are you a help to anyone? In this particular situation, Peter was no help to anyone. In fact, the Lord had to fix what Peter had done. He picked up that ear, put it back on his head, and he fixed the problem. Because Peter had misread the command of the Lord, he misread the situation, he misread everything to do with what was going on right there. In fact, he tells the Lord Jesus Christ, no, you're not going to lay down your life. And then after the Lord rebukes him and says, that's what I'm here for, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter still says, he still misreads the situation. when the Lord says, no one's going to stand with me, Peter says, I'm going to stand with you to the end. Peter does not have a grasp of what is going on in this situation. He doesn't understand the gravity of the situation. So therefore, he's of no help to anyone in this particular situation. But why? Why is he of no help to anyone? Because he's not focused on why the Lord Jesus Christ is here. He's not focused on who the Lord Jesus Christ is. All he's focused on is what he can do in his own strength instead of what the Lord Jesus Christ is there to do and his great power. So Peter was not a help to anyone in his own power, and he did not understand that there were situations beyond his physical strength. There were situations beyond his physical comprehending. And that physical weapon that he had, that physical weapon that the Lord had told him to get. And Peter probably had one already. Peter was probably one of the ones that had the two swords. That physical weapon failed him, just as his physical strength did. Peter, as a fisherman, probably had no idea how to really wield that sword. He had no training, I can imagine, in how to wield that sword. If he had had training, no doubt he would have taken off Malchus's head instead of just an ear. And that's all too often where you and I are at. I know that's where I was at in my life. I mentioned that I was raised in church my entire life, saved at the age of 14, attended a church school or homeschooled. Never been to a public school. Never been out of church, as it were, throughout my entire life. But yet, for a space of 20 years, from the age of 15, I was called to preach. But I did not surrender to that call until the age of 35. For the space of 20 years, I sat on a pew and misunderstood the call that the Lord had for my life. See, I had a younger brother, 2 years younger than me, that did surrender to the call to preach at that same time as I was called. But I thought to myself, there were so many other boys that surrendered to that call at that same time. I thought to myself, I'm not going to be me too. Like, me too, I'm called to preach. There was a very real call to preach, but there was no surrender. There was a misunderstanding on my part. And because of that, I was not where I should have been throughout those 20 years. I sat on a pew. I never left the church. But as the Bible says, I was almost in all iniquity in the congregation. Whatever I wanted to do, I did that. In spite of going to church. So I was backslidden on the pew because I had not followed that call to preach. I had not surrendered to that call to preach. So therefore, I was a help. I was no help not only to myself, but no help to anyone around me. See, God gives us light, and he expects us to walk in that light that he gives us before he's going to reveal anything else to us. We need to do what we know to do. We have light for the step in front of us, so to speak. We have light for those steps that we need, that we know we need to take right in front of us. See, 20 years ago, I had no idea. In fact, the day before I surrendered to this ministry, I had no idea that this ministry needed me in particular. I had worked through those 20 years sitting on the pew. I'd worked in my dad's ministry. He has a helps ministry still to this day. Wagons with provisions, carrying mission supplies all over the U.S. and down into Mexico. And I'd worked in that ministry. I'd helped him. I'd carried things out west. I'd carried things down into Mexico to the ports. In fact, that was where we met Brother Craich. through the ports. We would ship things through the port of Mobile, and there was Brother Craich. So we had worked with him in the past, and he knew my dad, and he knew me in particular. He had my dad's phone number, and last June, I'd been praying very heavily for months. What do you want me to do, Lord? I know that I'm called to be a missionary. I'd surrendered to the call to preach at 35. I knew that the Lord wanted me to do mission work. But what do you want me to do? I want to reach souls directly with the gospel, Lord. I'll be glad to work in a helps ministry. But I want to reach souls directly, Lord, if that would be your will. And then for 2 days in early June of last year, I prayed and prayed and prayed. It was on my heart more heavily than it had been in the past. What do you want me to do, Lord? I'd started praying Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Brother Craich calls my dad, and he says he didn't have my number, so he called my dad. He said, "Is your son busy? We have an opening in Panama City, Florida, for someone to go on board the ships and carry the gospel to the seafarers." So I could only take that as a direct answer to prayer that, here you go. This is what I want you to do. And I surrendered to that call that the Lord had for me. And it's been a blessing to work with Brother Craich in the seafarer ministry, the seaport ministry. The ministry was there. The ministry was waiting on me. Who knows if I had surrendered 20 years ago to the call to preach, that I could have been in the port for the past 20 years nearly, doing that work and reaching souls. But no, I was not much of a help to anyone. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning is, we need to pick up the rope. We need to be a help to people that are struggling through life. And not only the lost around us, but the saved around us as well. Let's go to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. What a testimony those folk have here. 40 years of service, of opening the doors of this church and shutting it down after the service. That's a great testimony of service, faithfulness to the Lord. And that's just exactly what I'm preaching on this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. This morning, are you profitable in the ministry? Are you profitable in the ministry that the Lord has given you directly? And you might think to yourself, the Lord hasn't given me a ministry. He has given you a ministry. He's given you a ministry to those around you. He's given you a ministry, fathers to your children. He's given you mothers a ministry to your children. We all have a ministry. We all have multiple ministries. We all have ministries. We're called to reach souls. But in 2 Timothy 4 here, only Luke is with me. He's only got Luke with him right there. But take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. I need his help. Bring him to me. In verse 12, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Are you a man that can be sent out by himself to do a job, to be a help to someone? In verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Are you a person that can be trusted with something, to guard it, to keep it? Now, if you know anything about those days past, the books, but especially the parchments, those were worth quite a bit of money back in that day. That was an important thing that Paul had entrusted to Carpus. how important of a thing can we be entrusted with? Can we be entrusted with the souls of men around us? Can we be a help to someone? Can we be a help to open the doors of the church and close the doors of the church? Can we be depended upon? Excuse me. Got some sinuses or something going on here. But let's go on here. What will cause us to help others? Let's go to Psalm, back to Psalm 107. Back to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 31. A proper understanding of who God is will cause us to help someone. A proper understanding of who He is and who we are. I don't think Peter, at that point in his life, where we read in Luke there, he had a proper understanding of, he had an inkling of who God was, but I don't think he had a proper understanding of just where he fell. But it's important that we understand who God is. In verse 31, Psalm 107, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Not only do we see that God is worthy of praise right there, but He's worthy of praise because of His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 164. Everyone knows 165, but what about 164? Psalm 119, 164. Seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. See, God is who He is. He's a righteous God. And He has the right to judge us. He's worthy of our praise. And the psalmist right here writes, seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. The psalmist understands who God is. He understands that He's worthy of praise. And because he has that proper understanding of God, he pinned down the Psalms, and he was a wonderful help to century upon century of people. Do we have an understanding of who God is? Do we praise Him? We all want that great peace. None of us want to be offended, I'm sure. But do we truly understand who God is? Do we give Him the praise that He deserves on a daily basis? We'll do that if we understand who He is. So we see number one that'll cause us to help someone is to focus on God. If our proper number one focus is on God and the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll most definitely be a help to others. We'll be able to help someone because we'll have our own house in order. And then secondly, if we're going to help someone else, obviously, we'll focus on others as well. We'll have God in the forefront. And then because of that, we'll be able to help others. We'll be able to focus on others above ourselves. Again, another verse that everyone knows, but let's go over there. Ephesians 4:32. Every year we have I guess you could say a year verse for each person in the church. At my home church, And 2 years ago, the Lord put on my heart that you don't care about other people enough. Directly on my heart, He says, you don't care about other people. You're not going to be effective in any ministry because you simply don't care about other people. You're focused on yourself. Let's read Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we choose these verses. The pastor, our pastor back home, he wants us to choose a verse or two for the next year that the Lord wants us to focus on. And this was the verse that the Lord put on my heart. He's like, you're not tenderhearted. You're not kind to other people. And this was before I surrendered to that ministry there. The Lord was preparing me to reach souls directly. He knew that I was not going to be a help to someone. It was a process, a long and drawn out process, a painful process, because I was stuck on myself. I was no help to anyone sitting on that church pew. Sure, I worked in the ministry. Sure, I even led the singing in church. But I was not of any help to anyone in bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ and pointing them to Jesus. Because I was only pointing at me. Are we a help to anyone? To be a help to others, we need to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to focus on helping them. And then we can worry about ourselves. So, kind of to sum the message up here, we need to drop our sword and we won't go there, but in 2 Corinthians 11, for sake of time, we won't go there. 2 Corinthians 11, the last verses in that chapter, Paul is in need of help. Paul is in such a bad strait, they've surrounded the city. The governor is after Paul's head. We want his head. You get that man. And they have him. Apparently they have him cornered. He can't get away. But there's some Christians there, unnamed Christians, by the way. Their names not recorded in God's word. And they let Paul down the city wall in a basket so that he can get away. Their names aren't recorded. We don't know who they are. But they're willing to be a help at most likely great cost to themselves. If it's ever found out that they're the ones that let Paul escape, then it's their head on the block. So we need to drop that sword. We need to drop whatever it is that we're focusing on in life that appeals to us so much. Now, throughout those 20 years, now I realize that we're in the South, but throughout those 20 years that I sat on a church pew, I worked at a gun store. And that was what I was focusing on, was getting as many guns as I could. But what I found out in those 20 years was no gun was able to fill that hole in my life, was able to allow me to focus on it as I should focus on other souls, as I should focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, focusing on those guns did not satisfy me. Focusing on souls, raising that family that the Lord gave me, focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ in particular, is something that is much more fulfilling than any gun I've ever been able to find. To this day, I still haven't found that magic gun that I've been seeking. And I don't believe I ever will. I've had many hundreds of guns over the years. But they were of no help to me because I was out of the Lord's will and I could be of no help to to anybody, not even myself. So we need to drop that sword, whatever it might be that's distracting us, that toy that we have. It could even be the arm of flesh that we depend on. I couldn't say what each person turns to. But Jesus himself calls Peter on the carpet in John 21. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Peter says, sure I do. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. You know I love you, Lord. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. But then let's look at the end there. Let's go to 2 Peter in chapter 3. 2 Peter in chapter 3. Peter was even called on the carpet by Paul. But he took that because he had grown in the Lord to the point where he could take it. He needed to have it pointed out that he was in the wrong. Can we take that as a Christian? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. This is not meant to be a whipping message, but I'm just telling you what happened in my life. I was Peter. I was of no help to anyone. But thank God that I surrendered to his call finally. I surrendered to the ministry he had for me. 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto us. See, Peter counts Paul as a beloved brother, even someone who would say, you're wrong, Peter. In verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Peter, at this point in his life, understands that you can twist things. You can take things out of context. You can misunderstand things, and it's to your own destruction. He has grown to the point that not only does he accept being told that he's wrong, but he understands that that person, if they're doing it in the correct manner, as Paul was, to help him, then they're in the right. In verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He's telling us today, those things that you know, those things that you've learned from the scripture, those things that you've been taught, stand on them, because there's going to be people that come along and twist them and turn them to their own destruction, and they'll bring you down with them. They're not going to be a help to anybody. They're going to be a hindrance to people, and you watch out for those people. But here's the last word from Peter. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of who? Our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's the focus of our, should be the focus of a saved person's life right there, is the Lord Jesus Christ and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we can be a help to someone. We can throw out that lifeline if we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we've surrendered to what God wants us to do, what we know God wants us to do. Now, I mentioned that brother that surrendered to the call a long time ago. He's a missionary in Alaska, and he started a church up there in the bush. In a bush village in Alaska, St. Mary's.
And that church is well established, been there for 8 years now. And I thought myself that I would be sitting on a pew my entire life, and I would be a support Mission Works. I would be one of the steady church members. But see, what I was doing was I was slipping away from that call further and further and further. As I sat on a pew, and I had 1 foot out the door when the Lord finally got to me after all those 20 years. See, I've got two other brothers. One of those brothers has passed away from a drug overdose. And the other brother is not in church. And what am I going to do about that? Lord, I come before you today and just ask that you would bless us, Lord. I know that these folk here love you, Lord. And I know that they want to serve you. I just pray that if there's anyone here that is in the state that I was in, that they would see that they're not a help to those around them. They would see that they're in no condition to be a help. They're in no, depending on their own ability, they're in no way, shape, or form a help to those around them for you. You cannot depend on the arm of the flesh to point others to the Lord. It won't work. I just pray, Lord, that as we have seen in your word, that we would drop the physical things, stop depending on the flesh, turn to you, Lord, focus on you, learn of you, and move forward in your will. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us this morning. Pray that you would help those saved people here that are struggling with your will, Lord. Just pray that they would focus on what they know to do, Lord. Stay in that general will that you have for every saved person. Stay in church. Stay in your word. Stay in prayer. Stay focused on you. And you'll reveal that specific will to them in your time. But they'll never find it if they're not focused on you. Then I pray for that lost person here this morning that doesn't know you, that has not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Just pray that you would draw them to you. Your Holy Spirit would work this morning, Lord. I pray before it's too late, before they take that last shot of drugs, before they pass out of this life, that they would turn to you, Lord. I just pray that you'd work today, Lord. I pray that your word would stick in people's mind, that it would be a help to them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor.